Well, this morning we're going to kind of finish up what we started last week, what we started, I guess it would be 4 weeks ago, and that is our series on the God and justice. About 4 weeks ago, we looked at God's justice and understanding that God is a just God, that He is sovereign over all things, yet He is merciful. And we looked at how through Christ's work on the cross, God could be just and the justifier of the one who believes in Him. Then last week, we looked at the Christian injustice, and first understanding what justice is. Justice is pure righteousness, and that in order to have justice, you must have a standard. And that God has created the standard and He has put it in His Word for us. And that any variation of that standard is not justice, but something altogether different. And we also looked at the greatest injustice of all, which is that we as man, created by God, are not willing to serve Him. We are not willing to bow our knee to Him. We are not willing to give up our will for His will. And, of course, we looked at what God did. He sent His Son to save us from the punishment, the penalty that we justly deserve. And He desired to save each and every one who would believe and to look toward His Son. So this morning we're going to kind of finish that thought. So for the Christian and justice, first of all, we must understand that there is a standard of justice and that God has created the standard. Second of all, we must understand the greatest injustice of all is that we do not obey and serve God. And so we're going to pick up from there. And so what are we to do in response to that? The Bible calls us to first be just in our actions. In what we do, we should be just. We should do the right thing at all times. What are some of the areas that the Bible talks about being just? First one is to owe no one anything. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." So we see that if we owe somebody something, we should pay our debts. We should give the people who are due the things that they are due. We should treat people fairly, not murder, not bear false witness, all of those things. But we should do what is right. Do what is right at all times. Proverbs 21:25 said, "It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." When we are doing what is right, it is a joy for us in our hearts. There is a peace that comes from righteousness. Isaiah 56 says, "Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil." In Isaiah 1:17, passage we've looked at a few times now, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." Those are the things that God has called us to do, even today. There's a man, author Kent Keith. He summed it up this way. He said, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Be good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People need help, but may attack you if you try to help them. Help them anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Very good food for thought. We are to be just in all that we do, not because our neighbor deserves us to treat them fairly. None of us deserve to be treated fairly. But God has called us to treat others fairly in obedience to Him. We serve God by serving others. We serve God by treating others fairly. God is not pleased when we come to church and then go home and be dishonest to our neighbor or to our friend. So we must be just in our actions. The other thing that a Christian must do as well is to support justice. Support the cause of justice. One of the ways we do that is by supporting government as God's minister of justice. 1 Peter 2:13 through 7 says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Titus chapter 3, Paul says to Titus, "Remind them," the people that he is preaching to "be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." And Romans 13:4 says, "For he is God's minister," speaking of government, "to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." And again, Paul says to Timothy, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers and intercessions are given, and giving of thanks may be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." You see, as Christians, we must support the government as God's minister of justice. We should encourage those who are God's ministers for justice. Government workers, our legislators, our police, they work hard for our community, and we need to show them our appreciation and our support. Recently, a church in Sioux Falls gave out a bunch of gift cards to their local police officers, and along with those was thank you baskets that people had wrote thank you notes and dropped them into a basket, and they delivered them to the local officers. Unfortunately, the gift cards had to be returned because I think they were kind of quite a bit of money, but don't know that for a fact. They didn't say on the news. But other things I've seen people do is make baskets, gift baskets, or just little baskets of treats and goodies that you can give to your police, local police officers, government officials, Another thing is if you see a police officer at a restaurant, you can go up and pay for their meal. That's a great way to say thank you and to show your support of our police. Stopping them and just, again, thanking them for their service. As Christians, we should encourage those who are bringing justice and are doing God's work in that area. We should thank them, encourage them, and support them. But you might say, Pastor, what about the ones that aren't doing a good job and are doing the exact opposite of what they're supposed to be doing? Instead of supporting God's, being God's minister of justice, they're actually working for the wrong team and they're doing the wrong thing. Well, the Bible has something to say about that too. And it says that we are to have no regard for those who teach another standard. We should viciously oppose people who are teaching the opposite thing of what the Bible says that we should teach. An example from the New Testament in Acts chapter 5, we see that Peter was preaching and the disciples were preaching about Jesus Christ. And they brought them before the high priest, before the council. And just to understand, in Jewish law, this is a governing authority. This is a body that can accuse and prosecute crimes. In Acts chapter 5, it says, when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Now these men were charged with not preaching the gospel. They said, "Go, you can go out of these cities, but do not teach about Jesus anymore." And they were threatened. And those men said, "You know what? I'm not going to listen to you. You have no authority over me because my authority comes from God. God is my authority and I will obey him. I will not obey you." And for the Christian, when we sing All Hail King Jesus, that is what we are saying. We are saying that I am going to place myself in subjection to the law of God and not the law of man. And so when the law of man lines up with the law of God, then the Christian and good people can rejoice. But when an evil man is a leader, must be quiet, for is it an evil time, as it talks about in Proverbs. We are to have no regard for those who teach another standard. 1 John 4, 1 through 6 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already in the world, is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the world hears them, and we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if you have somebody, a legislator, that says, oh, yeah, I do the right things, I'm not really a Christian, red flag. They're not of God. We must support justice. And justice is that which is enforcing the standard that God has created. And if you reject the standard, as the Christian, we must reject that error. Now, does that mean we have to be defiant? Does that mean we have to be disrespectful? No. But we should actively support those who are supporting justice. And when it comes down to the reality that we will once probably face, probably soon, is where the confusion, the lines are drawn between what is legal and what is right. We must always choose what is right. And how we figure that out is by looking at God's Word. And when man tells us to do something that is wrong, we must obey God rather than men. Deuteronomy 18:20-22 says, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, and who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." Now, this is the Old Testament test of a prophet. How does that correlate to my legislature or my local policeman? Your local policeman is God's minister of justice. And his job is to uphold justice according to God's standard. And when he is not doing that, we should not be afraid of him. Because our allegiance is first to our King, and that is Christ. Proverbs 25:26 says, "A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well." Another way of saying that, I'm not quite sure who that quote's given to, maybe Abraham Lincoln, but all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. We as the church, we have the standard of what is right. We have a standard of righteousness which has held for thousands of years. And we must trust it, obey it, and live by it, and most importantly, support those who are doing the same. After listing their belief that God created all men and because they are made in His image are entitled to make certain decisions about their actions, about their welfare, and about their governance, and listing injustice after injustice that the current government had committed, our founders concluded the Declaration of Independence. "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of a right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as a free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of a right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." That is supporting justice. It is not supporting justice to blindly vote for somebody who you do not know and you do not have any idea of what they're going to do. That is not the Christian's duty. The Christian's duty is to get involved and to serve and to support government, servants of government who are doing the right thing. Encouraging those who are in positions of authority to do the right thing. That is the Christian's job. So, we see here that first of all, we must understand that there is a standard that God has established of justice. We must be serving God. We must put our allegiance to Him and be subservient to Him. We must do what is right at all times. We must support justice. And lastly, we must spread mercy. We must, as Christians, spread mercy. Mercy instead of vengeance. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. 1 Samuel 24 says, Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. This is David talking to Saul after Saul had been trying to kill him several times. David is on the run, hiding from Saul. And they saw Saul coming, and so they hide in this cave, in the back of the cave. Saul comes in, takes care of his business. Actually, I think that time he slept that night. And David took part of his garment. He says, and so now he's talking to Saul from across the way. They escaped out of there. He says, But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. You see, David was running for his life. He had the opportunity to kill the man who was trying to kill him. But David said, wickedness proceeds from the wicked. My hand will not be against you. Romans 12:19-21 says, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21 says, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, as Christians, we are not to hold on to resentment when people have wronged us. We are not to live in bitterness and anger and wrath, but instead we are to extend mercy. We are to extend good to those who have wronged us. We are to forgive them instead of being full of wrath or anger. Psalms 37:8 says, Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Bitterness is an illness that only affects the host. When you're bitter at somebody, it doesn't hurt them at all. But it tears you up on the inside. James 1, 19 and 20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." As Christians, we are to be upholding and doing the righteousness of God. Wrath, anger, harsh words, that is not the righteousness of God. Finally, Ephesians 4, 26, 27, 31 through 32 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And Jesus said, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses." You see, God wants us to extend mercy to others because he has extended mercy to us. They don't deserve it, and neither do we. But because God has sent his Son and he has died in our place, it is only right that we then extend mercy to others who are in need of it. Thomas Borge was a leader in the struggle against a totalitarian regime that had dominated his country in Nicaragua. And during the revolution, he was captured and put in prison. And while he was there, he was subjected to the most extreme torture for over 500 hours of beatings, being tortured. After the revolution, he was freed and he became the Minister of the Interior. One day he found one of his torturers in jail. He walked up to this man who had inflicted such terrible pain upon him. He was relentless, brutal. He walked up to him and said, "I am going to get my revenge on you." And he stuck out his hand and he said, "This is my revenge. I forgive you." That is what we as Christians are called to do. "This is my revenge. I forgive you." We are to support justice. We are to do justice. But we are to spread mercy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. You call us to a very high standard. Sometimes it's so high we don't think we could ever attain it. In this life, with this flesh, Lord, in this country, how can we accomplish what you have called us to do? But Lord, you have given us your Spirit. If we are willing to subject ourselves to you, if we are to be obedient to you, to love each other, to love our brothers, to love our neighbors, as you have called us, Lord, there is power in your Spirit. There is power in your blood. It is more powerful than our imaginations. It is more powerful than anything on this earth. Governments, Lord, help us to believe, to trust in you, and then to go out into this world and to serve you with obedience and love. Help us to support those who are truly doing justice in this country and to replace those who are not. Help us to be mindful of your standard of justice so that we can support those who are doing true justice. So that we can recognize the error when other people appear to be doing good. Lord, we need your Spirit. We need your power. Mm-hmm. to work in us and through us so that we can make an impact in our community and in our world for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.